Bibles and open up to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16.
Tonight we're going to take some time. We're just going to talk about now and later. And I know that probably sounds like a funny title. The idea is what we're going to do is look at, we're going to start here in Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Look at now, and we're going to use that term with the idea of the time at hand. And then to talk about, well, what does that mean later on? And we're going to look at this story here. We're going to take a look at the passage that we read there in John 5. And then we're going to look at a couple more rather quickly. And to understand this lesson, for some, it may sound like, man, that's just terrible. There may be others that go, you know what, that's really comforting. Whenever you start to talk about eternity, if we're walking in darkness, then talking about times of God separating out the darkness from the light is depressing, because we don't have any comfort of knowing that we'll be with God. At the same time, if we're striving to do what's right, hopefully the things that we go through tonight are a comfort to us and an encouragement to continue further to go with the Lord and with the words of Jesus. Here in Luke chapter 16, I want you to look down in verse 19. The conversation in the first 18 verses, really 15 or more, have been about, what do you do with wealth? What's your attitude toward it? And so in verse 19, it says, "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day." So the picture of him in the present, in the now, is he's got wealth and he uses it on himself. He dresses very well. He eats very well. He enjoys comfort in this life. And then comes verse 20. "And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores." These are two distinct, separate spectrum ends. You have one man who lives what we would probably say is high on the hog. He's got the clothes, he's got the food, he's got the comfort. You got another man by the name of Lazarus, and Lazarus literally means that my God has helped. And that's kind of an interesting way to look at this story. He's poor. He has sores all over his body. And the dogs even come and lick his sores. He just wishes that he could eat the crumbs that fall from the table. He just wishes that this rich man would take whatever food he's not going to eat and he's going to throw out, that if he would just give it to Lazarus, that would be a good day. Two completely different pictures. There's the now. Look at the later. Death comes in, and now we move to the later picture. Verse 22. "Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried." Probably this term, Abraham's bosom, just can kind of imagine the moment with someone that you love and care for. They've gone through a difficulty, and you go there to be with them. And they put their head on your shoulder. And the idea is, it's a place of comfort. It's a place of rest. And so here's this poor man. He dies. He's carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and he was buried. Just sounds so matter of fact. He's just buried. Verse 23. "In Hades, in the place of the dead, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment." Notice he's aware. He has some awareness. "And saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom." He looks across and he sees them, and he sees the picture, and he sees something very drastically different than where he is and what he's going through. Verse 24. "And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame.'" He is in torment. And I want you to imagine how extreme the torment is, to where what his appeal for mercy is. "Well, you just have Lazarus dip his finger in the water so that I could just have one drop." I cannot imagine the time in my own life, maybe you can in your own, where just one drop of water would have made a big difference. He says, I'm in agony in this flame. He's being tormented. Verse 25. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. He says, notice how things have changed. He says, you enjoyed things so well on earth, and you had no compassion whatsoever. And now here you stand in torment, and there will be no mercy for you. Lazarus, a poor man, the dogs licked his sores. He had such a hard and difficult time. But now here he is with Abraham to comfort him. Then, verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. He says, there'll be no change. There'll be no going from where you are to where I am, and there'll be no one coming your direction from here to help you. Things have been set. And they've been set in such a way that there will be no compassion. There'll be no mercy. And to understand here, there's a picture of comfort with Lazarus and a picture of torment with this rich man. Then, here's his appeal to Abraham, verse 27. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. He says, If Lazarus won't come and give me a drop of cold water on my tongue, then will you send him to my father's house? He says, Will you send him there, verse 28, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Notice the awareness that he has. He says, I don't want my brothers to follow me here. I don't want them to have the same condemnation that I have and the same torment. He says, will you send Lazarus back from the dead to tell them? And notice he's concerned about his own family, but there's nothing he can do about it. He asks Abraham for it. Here's Abraham's response. Verse 29. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let your brothers listen to Moses and the prophets. If you notice it here, he apparently knows that they're not doing very well at listening to them. Because notice he doesn't stop there and say, You know what? They will listen. It'll turn out fine for them. Look at verse 30. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He recognizes that his brothers need repentance. They need change. They're not listening to Moses and the prophets. He says, I need Lazarus to go. And realize the torment that he is going through is just agony. He sees the spiritual state of his own brothers and realizes they need to repent. He realizes about them, they're headed to join me and I don't want them to. They don't listen to Moses and the prophets just like I didn't. He recognized they need to listen to God. Lazarus, he would say the same thing. You know what? You need to listen to God. If they could talk to us from the dead, that would be their message. Listen to Jesus. And to understand here, verse 31. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. He says, they're not going to listen to Lazarus. And to realize also, Jesus putting himself here, even when I raise from the dead, they're not going to listen to me either. Don't get confused that this Lazarus would match up with the one that's Mary and Martha's brother. They're not one and the same. But to understand the picture here, when times were now, the rich man just looked out for himself. He wasn't attentive to God through Moses and the prophets. He wasn't attentive to Jesus. And now here he is in torment. You see the picture of Lazarus. He went through great difficulty in life, and now he stands with Abraham at his bosom to comfort him, now that he has passed from this life and has died. To look at the stark contrast between the two and the difference. But let's take another step forward. Look over at the Gospel of John that we read a few minutes ago. John chapter 5. Look at verse 24. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." So what if we want to be sure of eternal life? What needs to be our response now? He says here, "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me." Do you notice it's the idea of hears, it's an ongoing. Believes, it's an ongoing response to Jesus. If we come to hear and believe, but it doesn't continue, we haven't passed out of death into life. We've gone back to death. To just be a short term in terms of faithfulness to the commandments of Jesus, to listen to his voice, to be on again, off again, to realize we haven't passed out of death. He says it's whenever we hear his voice, and to notice it here, the picture is, hears my word and believes him who sent me. He says he has eternal life. Life forever. And does not come into judgment. And the picture here is, does not come into condemnation. He doesn't come into it at the end. Because he hears my word and he believes in him who sent me. And notice it as it continues. He says here, verse 25, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is." He says, we're dealing with the present. We're dealing with the now. "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." He's not talking about those who are physically dead. He's talking about those who are spiritually dead. Look at it again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is." It's the now and the present. "When the spiritually dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." To be tuned in to the voice of Jesus. Just like with the story of the rich man and Lazarus, both of them would say the same thing after they have died. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Moses and the prophets. Listen to God. And now you come here to say, the time now is for us to listen to the word of Jesus. To be attentive. To continue in believing, to continue in hearing. He says, then we know we have eternal life because we've been obedient to his voice. And to know full well that at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, the appeal by Jesus is, you want to be my disciple? Then be baptized into my name for the forgiveness of your sins. To be attentive to his call. Then to see it, well, what about after that? To continue in the commandments of Jesus. If you notice it here, verse 26. "For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself." The Father has granted it to the Son, to Jesus. He can give life. And if we'll be attentive to his word now, later looks a lot different than it does for the rich man. Now, notice verse 27. "And he gave him," and God the Father gave God the Son authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. To understand, here's Jesus. He says, I'm giving you the words. It's up to us to faithfully be obedient. He says, you want to choose not to in the now, then later is going to be torment. You choose to honor me and listen to my voice and believe in him who sent me. He says, all of a sudden, later is comfort and wonderful. He says, the Son has authority to execute judgment, to execute condemnation. If he's the one who's the judge, and he is, isn't he the one we should be ever attentive to? If there's only one person that we could please in life, wouldn't it be the one who executes judgment? To be attentive to his voice? And to know the words that he speaks come from heaven? Now, here it makes a little change. Look at verse 28. Do not marvel at this. Don't marvel at the Son of Man, that he has authority to execute judgment. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming. Now this is later. This is future. In which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Now we're dealing with when Jesus returns. He says, all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. In the now, we get to decide whether we hear and whether we believe. But there's going to come a time after we all die, when the Lord returns. Now all are going to hear his voice, and there's not going to be an option anymore. Then notice verse 29. And will come forth those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. It doesn't matter whether your deeds were good or evil. There will be resurrection for all. The only question is, if we've been attentive to the voice of Jesus and his commands, it's a resurrection to life. Because we've honored him out of our deeds to be attentive to him. If we've been those who have pushed aside the words of Jesus to do it our own way in the now, he says, the later is going to be condemnation and judgment. Let's take this a step further, but let's go back to the prophets of the Old Testament for a minute. Look back at the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and look down at verse 22. This is the Lord speaking, if you want to look back at verse 18. He's the one who's talking here through Isaiah. Verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Turn to me, which means they're not turning to God already. They need to make an action in the now, because later is going to be torment for them if they don't. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Verse 23, I have sworn by myself. He says, I'm swearing by me. He says, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. In other words, this is never going to change. I'm swearing by it, and I want you to know it's not going to be turned back from. At the end of verse 23, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. In the now, you have a choice. In the later, after the resurrection of all, there will no longer be a choice. He says, all will bend the knee to me. All will swear allegiance. Notice verse 24. They will say of me, here's everyone. Everyone's going to make the statement, whether their deeds were evil or their deeds were good. Everyone. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and pay close attention to this next statement. And all who are angry at him will be put to shame. Maybe we've been a people who've been angry at God. If we have, we've been put to shame now. And it's much better to be put to shame now and change than to be later and have torment. Sometimes we run into people in this world. They are angry at God for something that happened. After the resurrection of all, there won't be anybody angry at God anymore. For all those who are angry at God will be put to shame. Maybe you've had this experience in life too. Boy, you get angry at somebody and you can't believe what they've done. And then you finally figure out what was going on. And it's all your fault. And shame just covers us. Here's God who stands by righteousness. He stands by truth. And He says, "And you haven't come to Me? The shame is all yours." Whenever you heard the story of the rich man, what was he covered with? Shame. He said, "Please send someone back to my brothers." Abraham said, "They'll listen to Moses and the prophets." He says, "They don't listen to them." He says, "No, will you send someone back from the dead?" He says, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone comes back from the dead." He says, "They will be put to shame." If we ever get angry with God, we'd better repent. And we had better change. Or else we'll be those who are put to shame. We had better be a people in the now who are attentive to the voice of Jesus. Because He's going to be the one that executes judgment. Look over Philippians chapter 2. And we'll close out here. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 8. In talking about Jesus, it says, "Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Here's Jesus. He gave obedience to God, even if it meant dying, even if it meant crucifixion. Obedient to the point of death. Humbled Himself. Verse 9. "For this reason, because He humbled Himself to be obedient to the point of death, for this reason also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name." And that's why the name of Jesus has authority. Because God gave Him the power to execute judgment. Because He gave Himself completely over to His Father. In the same way that we need to give ourselves completely over to Jesus and the will of the Father. Verse 10, here's a quotation from Isaiah 45 that we just read. "So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth." It doesn't matter where you are. You will bow the knee and your tongue will confess. But at that point, it won't be a choice. And it'll come with condemnation if we choose not to be obedient to Jesus now. Notice how it continues in verse 11. "And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He says, everyone's going to see Him as Lord then. There'll be no more rebellion. There'll be no more anger at God. If we've been attentive to the voice of Jesus, in the resurrection we find life and comfort and peace and joy. But if in the now we get anger at God and we spurn His ways, in the resurrection when we're all raised, because of the evil deeds we'll find condemnation. If you notice it here, verse 12. So then, so what do we do? What do we do in the now? Knowing that the later is coming, how does that affect us here and now? "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He says, you've been obedient now, keep on being obedient. He says, and work out your own salvation. Work out doesn't mean come up with your own things. Work out means see it to the finish. Don't give up. Keep going with the word of Jesus. To hold to it, to live it, and to live it to its fullest of what we can do. Then he says, with fear and trembling, understanding that the later is coming. May we be affected by what we know is coming in the later, in the now. In the way we hear his commands and his voice. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Because those are the ones that God will use to be pleasing in his eyes. This is not a lesson to scare us. It's a lesson to warn us. But it's also a lesson to comfort us. To continue listening to the voice of Jesus. To hold to his commands. And to be a people that when all are raised from the dead, that we will share in life. That we will share in comfort. And that we will share in joy in being in the presence of our Savior who washed us clean.